All right, let's go back to the Old Testament, and it looks like today we are going to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and we are going to chapter 20. The book of Numbers, chapter 20, as we continue in the series on Old Testament lessons, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses out of God's Word here. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These first 13 verses may be a story you're familiar with and maybe not. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There, Miriam died and was buried. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them. Let's pray. Father, once again, another great Old Testament lesson, a great Old Testament story about Moses. So what is it today, Lord, that we're going to learn from this interesting story about water that comes out of a rock, something miraculous? Just another miracle that you have performed in the sight of your people. So open our hearts and our minds once again, Lord, to the truths that you are about to reveal. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. If you want to know anything about the life of Moses, you can find it starting at Exodus chapter 2 through Deuteronomy chapter 34. Everything you want to know about Moses will be found in those verses. You're going to find the highs, you're going to find the lows in that scripture narrative. And today we're going to look at one of the many interesting stories in the life of Moses. And today's message I have titled, "The Mood of Moses." Most, if not all of us, are familiar with the story of Moses. He was born in Egypt. He was the son of Hebrew parents. And we know the story if we've watched the movie starring Charlton Heston. When he was a baby, what was happening then? The Egyptian king, the Pharaoh, said all baby boys will be killed. The family of Moses put Moses in a basket, put him on the Nile River, And he was found by the daughter of the Pharaoh. And then he was raised as an Egyptian prince. That was the first 40 years of the life of Moses. And you find out that the life of Moses is very evenly spaced. 40 years as an Egyptian prince in the luxury of the Pharaoh's house. And then at the age of 40, he leaves Egypt and he goes wandering in the deserts of Midian. He becomes a shepherd, he gets married, and he has a couple of children. So he becomes a shepherd, a husband, and a father in Midian for 40 more years. And then, conveniently, 40 more years later, at the age of 80, that what we find is that he has an encounter with a burning bush. And he spends his 40 final years going to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and leading the Israelites through an exodus out of Egypt and the subsequent wandering in the desert. So the first 40 years, an Egyptian prince. The next 40 years, shepherd, husband, father. The final 40 years, a prophet, a leader, one of God's chosen. Over those 40 years of leading the Israelites, there is no doubt that Moses has seen the good. He has seen the glory of God, and he has been able to speak with him just as pretty much any two people communicate today, although he never saw God face to face. Moses has witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle, all by the mighty arm of God. He has certainly seen the good side. But there's another side. On the other side, for 40 years, he has had to put up with the grumbling and the diverse personalities of millions of people living in a desert region who are impatiently waiting to enter the promised land. They are getting so impatient, many of them want to retreat back to Egypt. Some of them want to die. He has dealt with a golden calf early in this journey. He's dealt with rebellious insurgents who want to usurp power in the camp. His position as a leader of these bunch of people is not a position that really too many people would want to sign up for. And by the time we get to Numbers chapter 20, Moses is about 118 years old. He's only got two more years to live. He doesn't know that yet. But he's about 118 years old. And that means the Israelites have now been wandering in the desert for 38 years. They are at a place called Meribah. And the people are, once again, grumbling over a lack of water. This request is nothing new for Moses. If we were to go back to Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, the Israelites had just crossed the Red Sea, and they are in a desert, and what's one of the first things they want? They want water. They want food. So what does Moses do? Moses consults God, and God tells Moses, "Moses, strike the rock. You strike the rock, water will come out." So Moses strikes the rock with his rod, and water comes out, satisfying the needs of the people. Another miracle. So what makes this particular story a little bit special? The people are grumbling for water again, and Moses delivers again. Moses has, as we would say today, been there and done that. So why was Moses reprimanded for doing what appears to be a godly act by giving water to the people who need water? Let's think about this here for a second. Let's kind of go off on a little rabbit trail. Have we ever, as human beings today, have we ever allowed our mood to dictate our actions and our words? Of course not. Have we ever got up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning, and we want our misery to have just a little company. Have you ever had it up to here with other people and threaten under your breath that the next person that speaks to me is going to wish that that person would have kept his or her mouth shut? Our emotions are a good thing when they're brought under the proper control. So let's look at the story of Moses here this morning, and let's see where the mood of Moses may have gotten some cold water out of a rock, but got Moses into a little bit of hot water himself. 38 years wandering in the desert, Moses is dealing primarily with a new generation of Israelites. It's been 38 years after the Exodus, and many of the people who were part of that original Exodus may have passed away, and it's new generation, younger people. But as we will find out, that people are people, and the human condition is the human condition, regardless of our age, regardless of the time, and regardless of our circumstances. The story. The Israelites have been wandering. They have no water for themselves or their animals. So they grumble. They complain. We've never done that, have we? Of course not. They are grumbling. They are complaining. Some of them wish they were dead. Some of them wish they never left Egypt. It appears that many of them have forgotten the mighty arm of God. So first, we're going to look at the attitude of the Israelites, those grumbling Israelites. Let's look at them first, and then we'll take a peek at Moses. Our first fill in the blank says this: when you have a bad attitude, you also have a lack of simple and secure trust in God. You have a lack of simple and secure trust in God. Again, let's look at the Israelites here for a second. Didn't they remember? What? Doesn't God provide? If we were to look back over their history as they were wandering in the desert, Exodus chapter 17, verse 6 says, God can make water come out of a rock. He has done that before. They shouldn't be grumbling about that. And isn't there manna every morning when you wake up, 6 days out of the week, that we see in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4? You always have something to eat. And if that's not good enough, quail is in the camp every day. It just drops out of nowhere, Exodus chapter 16, verse 13. Regardless of where the Israelite camp may be, and they're wandering all over this desert, it just seems like the quail just follows them and just drops dead and gives them something to eat. And oh, by the way, Israelites, have your clothes or your sandals ever worn out over all these years? No, they haven't. Hasn't God provided water? Hasn't he provided manna? Hasn't he provided quail? Hasn't he provided your clothes and your sandals never wearing out? You see, the Israelites fail to remember. The Israelites fail to trust. And quite often, our bad attitudes and our moods, like those of the Israelites, make us lose sight of a God that we know provides. A God who promises that since he takes care of the birds of the air, he will take care of us too. So when we get in those moods, have we forgotten what God is capable of doing? I will agree, many times our bad attitudes and our moods are a result of our own circumstances, like that of the Israelites. Something has happened. The car breaks down at an inconvenient time, and oh my goodness, or your power goes out when you need power because you gotta watch that Hallmark movie. So you got those bad things happening in your life. So what are you going to do? Circumstances sometimes dictate the moods that we're in. But have we ever been launched into a bad mood or a bad attitude because of the words or actions of somebody else? Oh my. In other words, we're having a pretty good day until so-and-so shows up and so-and-so opens his or her big mouth. Has that ever happened to any one of us by any chance? How do we respond, my friends, when people grumble at us, or when they do not speak kindly of us, or when they bring us down, when they bring our day down, just because they want to demonstrate the human condition right in front of us? Can it be a moment of temptation which leads us to some other ungodly acts? Let's see how Moses responded at the mood of the Israelites. We've looked at the Israelites. Now let's look at the mood of Moses. What happened? The grumbling Israelites come to Moses, and Moses does the right thing. He goes to God. Lord, what should I do? And what does God command Moses to do? Two simple little things, Moses. Take the rod, Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and water will come out of the rock. It's very simple. But this event isn't like the event 38 years earlier. 38 years earlier in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, Moses was to strike the rock once and water will come out. And that's what happened. But not this time, Moses. Just take the rod, speak to the rock before their eyes, and water will come out. The rod would represent the authority of God, and the words from the mouth of Moses would cause the water to flow from the rock. Is that how Moses responded when he was told to do those things? Of course not. Our next fill in the blank. The bad attitude of others can easily lead us into a momentary act of disobedience. That is our fill in the blank this morning. Disobedience. Moses was clearly instructed by the Lord to speak. Speak, Moses, speak to the rock. Moses did not do that. He struck the rock with his rod. And I kind of put it in the vernacular. God says this, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses, having this mood, having this attitude, says this, don't think so, because you know what, Lord? Today I have an attitude. I'll strike the rock instead. And not only that, Lord, I'll strike it twice. No, we've never had a response like that, have we? When we get moody, when people irritate us? So what happens? What happens? He struck the rock twice. You can see from Moses' experience that having a mood, don't want to go there yet, can cause us to fall into the snares of sin. Let me repeat that. We learn from Moses' experience that having a mood, a bad attitude, can cause us to fall into the snares of sin. We cannot, my friends, allow the foolishness, the ignorance, or let's call it what it is sometimes, the stupidity of others to cause us to fall victims to the enemy's trap. And yes, the enemy puts other people in our paths who are foolish, who are ignorant, and who are stupid, who do things to us because they want us, the enemy wants us to act just like Moses did. Just like Moses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we are told this, that love is not easily angered. Hey, there's a milestone, isn't it? Love is not easily angered. And if we allow others to get the best of us and lead us to the point of sin, then the Bible says that's not love. That's not love. Love is not easily angered. Moses struck the rock when he was commanded by God to just simply speak to it. That's all. But that's not the only mistake that Moses made in his moment of frustration. Let's see what else he did. Our next fill in the blank. So Moses gathers the assembly at the rock, and he's supposed to speak to it. We know that he doesn't. But the next thing would be this. In Moses' moment of frustration, he decided to bring glory to himself and not to God. Well, Mike, how does that happen? Bringing glory to himself. Instead of saying something that will bring glory to God, like, the Lord commanded me to speak to the rock, and I'm going to speak to the rock, and the water's going to come out. Let's give glory to God. He says this. Listen now, you rebels. Shall who? We. Shall we bring forth water for you out of this? We. Moses. There ain't no miracle in we. Moses, there ain't no miracle in we. Any good or even miraculous that Moses may have done, or any good or even miraculous that we may have been a part of, is not of us, my friends. It's not of us. It is always of God. And that is where the glory must go. So let's bring this down to a level where we can really understand this. And I think this church is really good at doing this well, okay? So I'm not getting on you, because I think we're really good at this. Every year we do Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes, right? It's a good ministry. It's a great ministry. Every year the church provides the shoeboxes, pays for the postage, and all you individuals, you go on out and you fill up these shoeboxes and we bring them back. And this year, where's Lilia? 107, right? 107 shoeboxes we did. That was great. That was great. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Folks, that's not us. Where did we get the finances to buy the stuff that goes in the shoeboxes? God. He gave us the ability to work. And when we work, we make money. And when we do, we can fill the shoeboxes. There's no glory in this. Look at what... I never heard one person in here ever over all these years saying, look what we did. Because we wouldn't say that. We would say this. Look what God has done. And he uses people like us to do things like this. Moses, you're out of bonds here, buddy. Shall we bring water out of this rock? Don't go there, Moses. Moses went there and he crossed a line. So allow me to repeat something I said a little bit earlier. You can see from Moses' experience here in Numbers chapter 20, how having a mood and a bad attitude can cause us to fall into the snares of sin. And we cannot allow the foolishness, the ignorance, or the stupidity of others to allow us and cause us to fall victims into the enemy's trap. Cannot happen. Okay, so what happens? Moses, we know this, he hits the rock twice when he should have spoken to it. And he did not give glory to God as he should have for this miraculous feat. And some may say, well, what, you know, but Mike, I don't consider them very major offenses. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. God's the judge. Guess who considered that offensive? God considered it offensive. And God can be just when God wants to be just. And Hebrews chapter 12 says this. He disciplines those whom he what? He loves. He disciplines those whom he loves. And in this particular case, he had to discipline Moses for his act of disobedience. Because, last fill in the blank, because of his moody reaction, I'm going to keep on saying that word, that moody reaction to the Israelites' request, God punished Moses or reprimanded him, call it what you want, by not allowing him to enter the promised land. Moses, you're not going to enter the land of promise. Now, just for a second, put on the shoes of Moses here for a second. It's like, what? I've been with these grumbling Israelites. I was going to use a few other words. Israelites, for 38 years, I've put up with all this stuff, the good and the bad, and now you're telling me, Lord, that I am not going to enter the land of promise? I'm your chosen guy. I'm the one that went to Egypt. I'm the one that brought them across. I'm the one that had to put up with all their grumbling. And now you're saying I can't go in? Maybe people today might say this, Lord, that doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair, Lord, that you're not going to allow me to go see the promised land. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it ever say God is fair? Nowhere. God has many attributes, but it never says God is fair. Because if he was fair, that means whatever he did to one, he'd have to do for the next. That ain't the way God operates. He can be merciful when we don't get what we deserve. He can be just when we do get what we do deserve. And he can be gracious when we get what we don't deserve. He can be any of those to anyone he wants, whenever he pleases, and he can do it all for his own good pleasure and his own good plan. In this case, he decided to discipline Moses for his act of disobedience. Actually, if you think about it, we don't want God to be fair. If God was fair, we'd all be destroyed, and no one would ever be saved. That's fair. But sometimes God is just. Sometimes God disciplines to make an example out of somebody and to prove a point. And in this case, with Moses, he puts forth a punishment for his disobedience, all because one day Moses had a mood and a bad attitude. So what about us? Let's bring it up to November the 25th, 2018. Do we allow our own circumstances that are maybe not of our doing, the car breaking down, the power going out, do we allow such circumstances to put us into a mood? Do we allow those other grumblers and complainers out there, do we allow them to put us into a mood? Or how about, let's get down to another level. How about when our favorite sports team loses? As people, I hear them grumbling about the UVA game yesterday. Mike, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Oh, that was the Virginia Tech game. That's right. Sometimes we're winners and sometimes we're losers, right? But sometimes when our favorite sports team loses, that can put us in a mood. Or how about, do those governing officials in Washington, D.C. ever put us in a mood? Oh. Or what about all those people on Facebook who disagree with us? They don't put us in a mood now, do they? Do we allow, Beech Grove, our external circumstances to to dictate what our moods are? Or do we allow God to dictate what kind of mood we are in? And just to sum it up, there's our four fill in the blanks. Being in the wrong mood can certainly have its consequences, as Moses found out. James chapter 1, verse 20 says this, tells us that the anger of man, that would be us, does not achieve the righteousness of God. So we need to be careful. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says this, do not let the sun go down on our anger. So that means at some point during the day, we got to work this thing out. The mood of Moses. For him, one bad day, one momentary lapse of judgment kept him from entering the promised land. He did get to see it right before he died. The Lord took him on top of Mount Nebo, where he had a view of the promised land. And there Moses died. And the Bible says the Lord buried him on Mount Nebo. He got to see it, but never got to enter. And as Christians, we should not and we cannot ever allow our circumstances, nor can we ever allow the mood, the bad mood or foul mood of others, place us in a position where we can or will make poor and sinful choices. It didn't work out well for Moses. And it may not work out well for us either. Our emotions and our moods can be a very, very good thing when they are brought under the proper control. That sounds like one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience, joy, da-da-da. Number 9, self-control. A fruit of the Spirit. How well do we exhibit that fruit of the Spirit, that of self-control? We know what Moses did on one bad day where some angry people just got the best of him. Don't let the world get the best of you. Remember what God has already and will continue to provide. Let's go to God in prayer.